Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Story Break, the Writers' Room podcast, where three Hollywood pros have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into a cinematic masterpiece. I am your host, and dialing in remotely, your remote reporter coming in from a WeWork space in Portland, Freddie Wong.
I am Will Campos, and I am the voice in Freddie's head and a screenwriter.
I'm Matthew Arnold, Kingdom Death Survivor first, writer-director second.
I'm very happy to announce and super stoked to say that we are now, by the way, part of the Maximum Fun network of podcasts. If you folks are not familiar, there's some really, really great shows on there. The one that I think we all in the writers' room listen to, my brother and me, Story Break, of course. Now, Judge John Hodgman, Jordan Jesse Go, just a whole bunch of very, very cool, very good podcasts. And we're part of a podcast network now. So as the weeks come on, you know, you'll hear some some guests, some ad reads and stuff like that here. But it's awesome. We are very excited to be part of these very awesome group of people.
Freddie, you conquered the YouTube world in about 3 weeks. It took you 6.5 years to get on a podcast network.
Finally, so.
I definitely feel a little bit like Jubilee joining the X-Men at the beginning, or Rogue joining the X-Men at the beginning of that movie, where it's like, oh shit, like look at all these real superheroes around here. So yeah, welcome all of our Max Fun viewers, and thanks to Maximum Fun for having us.
So with that, let's get into the work. The real good shit.
The craft. The process.
The craft. All right. Yeah, the work.
Okay, so we actually have an Excel sheet of 20 random movie ideas. Everything from, again, last week was Amperu. And I'm going to roll a 20-sided dice to see what we actually are going to break today. Because that's how we do it here. We don't have any prep. We just roll dice and we craft a masterpiece. So here we go. It is 9.
Oh, fuck yes.
Okay, what is 9?
Number 9 is Chuck E. Cheese, gentlemen.
Oh,
Charles
there we go.
Cheese.
Charles E. Cheese, the Chuck E. Cheese movie. That is what we will be busting today in the Story Break writer's room.
That's very good. Okay.
So Matt and Will, you guys crank at looking at the Wikipedia here. We're going to take a quick minute to just familiarize ourselves with this radical ticket-based mouse.
Can you use a different term than you guys go crank it while you do the ads? Okay, so this week we are going to crack Chuck E. Cheese, which is a fantastic restaurant if you haven't been, that was founded in 1977, and the main mascot of it is the name and the character Chuck E. Cheese, which is a big rat who sells pizza and has games for kids.
All right, we have 1 hour on the clock, and the clock starts now.
Wait, first off, have you guys been to Chuck E. Cheese?
I went to Chuck E. Cheese for my senior graduation party in high school.
In high school?
Yeah, it was like an ironic, we're so cool because we're lame kind of thing.
Matt, my understanding is it's actually very difficult to go to Chuck E. Cheese now as an adult because you need a kid with you.
That's true.
If you just walk in just like unannounced, they'll be like, you're clearly here to kidnap, so you cannot be in here.
Sorry. We were on the wrong Wikipedia page, guys. I just dug up the epic. We were on the Chuck E. Cheese business Wikipedia page. There is a separate page for Chuck E. Cheese character. You guys just got to hold your breaths while I dive in on Chuck E. Cheese's official backstory. This is canon. Canon that we're working off of.
As dictated by Nolan Bushnell,
by the way, we've all been wondering what the E stands for. Well,
yeah.
Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Holy shit. Holy shit, that's good.
No way.
Charles Entertainment Cheese is the anthropomorphic mouse mascot of the Chuck E. Cheese chain of family entertainment centers. Cheese's official backstory is that he's an orphaned mouse who does not know his own birthday.
This is so good.
Whoa.
To make up for never having had a birthday party of his own, he hosts parties for kids. After winning a Pong tournament, Cheese moves to New York and starts working as a singer at an Italian restaurant where he also meets and befriends a musically inclined chef named Pasquale. Eventually, he moves to California and creates his own restaurant franchise, with Pasquale becoming his star chef and later joining his band.
The end. So usually Story Break is about 5 minutes long. That was a fantastic movie. That's the quickest we've ever broken anything. That was fantastic.
Can I point out that this Italian chef that he found, Pasquale, apparently is only good enough to make mediocre pizza? Like, come on, Charles. You gotta search the workforce a little harder than that.
Okay. Well, the orphan mouse who doesn't know his own birthday.
Dude,
and makes
cuts.
A place to throw is incredible.
Right to the core. I feel like they did all our work for us. I didn't realize we were dealing. I just thought he was a rat that
we got a story to
creeped.
Tell.
I thought he was just a rat that creeped out 5-year-olds while they were eating shitty pizza.
No, this is like adapting. I mean, this is This is Shakespeare. This is real shit. Like, we got a story that we have to do our best to preserve in this blockbuster movie.
All right. But I don't want to fucking joke around anymore. No, I'm not even kidding.
I wish I was good enough to come up with an animated movie about an orphan mouse who doesn't know his own birthday. So he throws birthday parties for kids as this desire to connect and learn more about himself and just have, like, kind of hang on to the things he never actually had. This is
I guess real quick, I just want to throw out there is, so the question to me right away is, like, does in the end, does he find out his actual birthday, or does he have, like, the option to know it and he makes the decision not to know it? Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, it feels like that central question is being posed here at the very beginning and it needs to be addressed in a way.
He learns that every day is worth celebrating life.
I was going to say that I feel like you could do a moment where, like, he's at his low. Oh, this is what you do, guys. You do at his lowest moment. Because clearly this is seeming to me like this is like the Commitments meets Ratatouille, basically, right? Like, it's a Motown, it's a band movie, the Pizza Time Players. Yeah. He's going to put together the rock band that changes the world. So you do it at his lowest moment, right, where he thinks he's failed and blah, 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 blah. You do, the band throws him a birthday party. And they're like, this is your birthday, Chuck E. Cheese.
A little Amelie. Like, somebody's got to take care of him. He's been worried his whole life taking care of everybody else.
To run through the rest of the Pizza Time Players, which is the name of his band, this group featured Chuck E. Cheese, Krusty the Cat, Jasper T. Jowls, Pasquale, Helen Henry, the Warblettes, and many other characters, most of which have been retired.
Wait. Pasquale's in the band? I thought he's in the kitchen doing the work.
No, he's a musically inclined chef.
He's a radical musically inclined chef. I do like that they use the word retired, given that they're animatronics, which makes me think of the androids in Blade Runner, which are also retired when they're executed by Blade Runners. So maybe we do it. Maybe there's like a rogue animal. Okay. All right. Side break into doing a sci-fi movie about a guy who hunts down Chuck E. Cheese robots. And he's like he's a Za runner or something like that.
Oh my God. Real quick. There is absolutely a viral video that is like, you do the Voight Kampff test and you cut to the other side and it's like Chuck E. Cheese. And it's like, you see a turtle on its back. What do you do? It's like,
A kid and his brother are cheating to get free tickets out of the skee-ball machine.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Okay.
Hey, real quick, just side note. If anybody has access to one of these costumes, we have a video that we want to shoot now. So let us know.
A slice of pepperoni pizza lies face down on the ground. You stare at it. You're not flipping it over. Why aren't you flipping it over, Chucky?
Okay.
Okay. All right. We won't do the Blade Runner movie.
Okay. I don't know why. I'm just throwing things against the wall. But in my head, right? Okay. You guys seen Five-O Goes West, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, is there music? Is there music in this?
Music. Yeah. I was going to say, like, okay, so this is one of the things we always have. Like, this is not, like, okay, this is what I'm trying to get. First things first, this does not take place in the world where it's not like he'll find a restaurant called Chuck E. Cheese, but he's not like, the end of this movie isn't the creation of the corporate entity known as Chuck E. Cheese, right?
No, absolutely not. No,
no, like, this is, we're in the universe of the Chuck E. Cheese brand.
This is what I'm thinking right now. I don't know. Again, I'm just throwing this out there. Feel free to shit on it. But Depression era, 1920s, right? This is going to be, Chuck E. Cheese is going to bring joy. I'm just thinking about Orphan. Oh, I'm thinking about living in the streets.
Well, no, because here's the thing, though, because you still have to go with the evolution of music itself. So it does feel like 20s might be too early. Like, you might need something to be able to get rock and roll.
I was going to say the 1970s, which is when the franchise was created, because I could also see a role for Nolan Bushnell, founder of Atari, who is also the founder of Chuck E. Cheese, that he's like he's the guy who's like, you got a fresh sound or something like that. Like, I don't know about World War II. Like, when I think Chuck E. Cheese, I like, again, like, to just to even go with the iconography of Chuck E. Cheese, like, this is a radical rat with a t-shirt and a backwards baseball cap. I picture skateboards entering the equation. Like, yeah, this is like the Get Down, but for Chuck E. Cheese. Like,
it's also not the 70s.
Huh?
No, but that's
what I'm saying is the restaurant was founded in the 70s. It was founded in the 70s and 80s. So, like, if you were going to do it, period, I would do that as the period.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about the 70s, Matt. That's the disco era. So you can have it be like the contrast of, like, either, you know, if he plays punk or if he's like rock and roll, you can actually have like a musical thing there, because it's like, yeah, disco sucks. Like, we're all about, I don't know what he would like, speed metal. I don't know what's the genre of music that these guys play.
I mean, like, it feels like it would be like punk. G-rated folksy country kids tunes.
They play safe pop hits. I'm going to throw this out there. What if the theme of the movie is that, like, music has gotten too artistic and political and angry, and then the 1970s and 80s. So, like, what happened to good old-fashioned fun time music? And that's what Chuck E. Cheese is about. Yeah. Like, he's about, I don't know, like, Chuck E. Cheese is about, like, pizza is about joy. Like, Chuck E. Cheese is about, like, being a place you can escape from the problems of the world. It's not about, like, confronting the man. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, exactly. That's it's true. Not. It's that's like, true. That's why. That's
Sorry.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe it's like a Gulliver's Travels. Sullivan's Travels? What's the movie?
Sullivan's Travels.
So, yeah, but you do. It's like the, it is like Chuck E. Cheese is like, he's this, like, safe corporate mascot, right? Like, he makes his fun music. They're like, great. And then he finds out, like, you know, oh, the world is terrible and fucked up. And, like, it you know, breaks his little rat heart.
Wait, so
then at the end, he realizes, no, like, I still need to make my beautiful music so the world can come to my pizza place and kids can have a place where they can be a kid.
What are we playing? Because that, I guess we're the Depression era, and I don't think we're doing Depression era, but, like, that feels different. That feels like corporate entity Chuck E. Cheese as opposed to sad orphan mouse a la Ratatouille or something like that. Like, that's why I'm like, what is the story? Because I feel in my mind, I'm like, this ends with an orphan mouse, like, having, like, his own restaurant that is a new place that is, you know,
a new
family
home.
Yeah, new home, like a family restaurant or something like that. Like, I don't know if we go into, like, that feels like a different story. Okay, so, like, is this like a Wolf of Wall Street or like the rise of a corporate thing? Or again, is this just a story of an orphan mouse who makes
I think
it,
it's that.
Who gets to the who I ends I with his own that. Home and his own restaurant and like a great new Chuck E. Cheese in the middle of, you know, kind of like the end of Ratatouille, like he has his own restaurant.
We're about 10 minutes in.
Okay.
See, Matt, I agree with you. I think it needs to be like a story about him, because, like, I think in my head, by the way, is like almost like a Slumdog Millionaire-esque thing.
Yes.
Where, like, throughout his life, like, he found like literally he has to have the vision of like a ball pit. Maybe this will be nice for kids. Like, he literally needs to encounter different things throughout his life so that Chuck E. Cheese becomes like the story of his hardship. Like, maybe they get stuck in some like garbage chute sort of thing, and it's like that's where he gets the inspiration from, like a ball pit or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to think about like the emotional hit of being like, this is the sum total of my journey was all these great ideas.
Yeah, I guess I'm just trying to land on, like, because to me, definitely the most interesting, since that's his backstory, like the most interesting character to me is this orphan mouse who doesn't know his own birthday.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. All right.
So then maybe
it's about him like trying to find, you know, if maybe it's orphan, not like parents are dead, but parents like left him or something. Maybe it's him trying to find his parents, and that could be like the impetus of this journey. So it's not just he's in New York, you know.
Yeah, because it is. I guess that's what it is. Even about the like the Italian restaurant that he works in the back of, like all that felt like old time. Like God, I'm thinking like Godfather, or something, which again is maybe wrong. That's just the imagery. I'm like when you read that out loud, like I literally just could not stop thinking about like. You know, like something like Lady and the Tramp, like Lady and the Tramp-esque. I don't even know what that like time period that is, but it does feel this like pseudo.
I think you can do
storybook.
I think you can do timeless and old timey. I wouldn't put it in the depression.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I'm not stuck on depression at all. I don't think
okay.
We should do depression.
All right.
What's a good? Let's start with this. Let's try to figure this out. What's this? What's the Bambi moment? Like, how do we kill these parents? Because think about this. Like, you come to see Chuck E. Cheese. Like, how do you start with that little baby? Like, you know what people love. A little tiny wet mouse in a little blanket that has got no parents.
Oh God!
And you're like, and you're like, and you're like, oh my God!
Big little eyes,
alone in the world in a gutter. Oh my God! Imagine this turbulent scene where he's like, because he's so little, he's like in a little, he's in like a little leaf, and there's like a rainstorm, and he's going down the drain. You know, he's running along the gutter of the street. This little baby mouse with no parents, ripped away from his parents, and this guy's gonna make the greatest restaurant.
Okay, I do have a question.
Okay.
So then this is actually in the pizza lore of Chuck E. Cheese. This okay. is like one of those is cheesecake cake or pie type okay. things.
Okay. Oh, how big is he?
How big
Shit.
How big is Chuck E. Cheese?
Shit.
Because in our world, Chuck E. Cheese is a man-sized rat.
Shit.
So I think you're looking at, I feel like just, you have we have to be looking at some sort of Zootopia as a situation where we're in a world.
Oh, it's got to be an animal world. Animal
yeah,
world.
Because it's like, I don't know if you can do a man-sized rat singing to normal humans. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Animal world. 100% animal world Zootopia style.
It's like a BoJack Horseman animal world. Yeah. BoJack Horseman's not a bad way to look at it.
Or
in terms
is it
of
like
what
an,
the world
or is
like.
It? Or is bear with that? I will say yes. So we can go with that. I just want to zag for a second. Or is it kind of like Elephant Man? Like, is it? Like, is it that he is a human-sized rat and he's an orphan because he was abandoned because he's a grotesque rat, kind of like Penguin from Batman, and then he overcomes
so
his differences.
He's this hideous man-sized rat.
It's like the Get
rat.
Down meets Wonder.
Oh my God. I don't
he's
know if we can sustain
and then he
that.
Finds all of Sorry. These other, it's like an island of Dr. Moreau, and he finds all of these other,
oh, shit,
animal,
because
men
other animal men
and animal ladies. And he's like, us freaks got to stick together. We're going to start a band and change the world.
Well, I'm seeing like a hard cut to black at the very beginning, and it's just like, in 2024, a genetic mutation causes like the beginning of X-Men. Like, it's like, it's like Xavier's school of like rock and roll animals.
I think he should be a man-sized rat in a human world.
Okay, there we go. I like that. That's interesting.
It's Ninja Turtles. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah,
so here's what.
Yeah.
To me, and then what I was gonna say is, I think you could take a page from the Ninja Turtles playbook, and you do like, again, it's that they were normal turtles, and then there was the ooze, right? And the ooze turned them into like sentient people or whatever. Yeah. Maybe you do. There's like a normal like mom and pop pizza shop, and there's like an evil pizza corporation, and they have like this genetic pizza sauce that leaks into the sewer, and then like this little rat eats it, and he turns into this radical teen rat.
That's pretty good.
And then but his parents,
I don't quite know,
are dead.
Well, the way I would do that is like, again, then yes, we get all the best of both worlds. Again, I'm telling, like, you need that Bambi moment. I'm telling you, people, tears in eyes, parents wailing at the beginning of this movie as this little baby rat is separated from his parents in a storm and is going down the drain and falls into the drain, a la Ninja Turtles. And yes, we need some bad guys. So the idea of this like evil pizza place.
Oh, his parents were lab rats at Evil Pizza Corp.
Oh shit.
Why is a pizza place?
Because they're trying to find
a,
this
rats?
Is why, which is great, because Chuck E. Cheese is the grossest fucking pizza on the planet. Is you do that, they're trying to find the cheapest pizza that's still legally edible. Like they're just like so they're like feeding the pepperonis and stuff like that, and they're giving to the rats.
Or they're making like this new meat out of rat meat or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's pretty
dark.
That's pretty dark.
But it's like,
I don't even know if you need. I think either do their lab rats or the evil pizza place has waste and goop and stuff like that.
I guess they could just be lab rats. I like it being an evil pizza place, though.
Yeah, I like it being. Like, that's what I mean. I don't think you need lab rats. It's just.
No. Oh. But what I was going to say is, you do that as parents, like his parent rats, like they initiated this daring escape to get Chuck E. Cheese out of the lab.
Oh man.
Do you know what I mean?
Their son,
their boy, to get him to freedom. Yeah. Okay. We're drunk driving a little bit here. I'm trying to figure this out. All right.
Cause we're taking the hard path, because we're not going to do this. This is no longer.
This feels like one of those ones that were, okay. So
I do like this being Ninja Turtle, like early 2000s Ninja Turtles. In terms of just like style, I'm just trying to get my head around the style of this, because we could absolutely just make this an animated feature. By like,
you want to feel super old, Matt?
Yeah,
I think you mean early 1990s Ninja Turtles.
Oh my God! Okay, so yeah,
okay. So this rat encounters some sort of thing and turns into a rat boy.
Yes,
and then Nolan Bushnell raises him in a pizza shop.
I don't think, like, Nolan Bushnell's in this.
All right, okay, I'm just, all right.
It says,
there's
way,
a lot going on in this idea.
It's to make up for never having a birthday party, he just starts hosting parties for kids, which is bonkers. If you think of this as a human world, and this human-sized rat is like, hey, I'll host your kid's birthday party. But then he wins a Pong tournament, and then moves to New York and starts working as a singer.
Okay,
we should compress.
Hold on, though. Okay. Hold on. I'm seeing like a human boy or human. I was just imagining. Okay, this is taking this in a weird kind of Guillermo del Toro direction. But imagine, if you will, this rat has a harrowing encounter with some sort of weird goo and turns into this hideous rat boy, right? And has human intelligence, right? And is like, but is just scurrying around naked and afraid in the city, right? And he's like this lonely little hunchback living like in a fucking, but across the way, there's a lonely kid who also doesn't know when his birthday is. Whose parents forget his birthday, right? Mm-hmm. And our dude, like, his heart goes out to this kid, and he like steals like a little piece of cake from, like, you know, like, and he leaves it for the boy, and the boy encounters him, and then it's like a boy and his rat type thing, where it's like, he's like, what's your name? And he's like, yeah, and he's like, I'll call you Chucky. And he's like, Chucky. And then they become buds, and Chuck E. Cheese like becomes more and more human, but the kid's like a little weirdo musician, right? He's like, no one gets me. I'm into punk rock. And he teaches Chuck E. Cheese how to rock out, and he's the one who gives him the coat and the hat and the backwards baseball cap, and then, like, that's your kind of off to the races a little bit.
Oh, my God. Will, like a Teen Wolf thing where he's like trying to sneak Chucky into the like school band competition where it's like, wear these sunglasses and shades and skateboarding, it'll look just like a regular kid. Like, oh, okay, is incredible.
I thought you were gonna say that he, this guy like lives on the street and he ends up like living underneath the house. And as he's living, like, as he's like living under the house, like scurrying around, he eats out. He, you know, he grabs scraps from this family, but he also he observes this kid because Chuck E. Cheese. I kind of want to give Chuck E. Cheese the agency.
That's what I'm saying. Chuck E. Cheese gives him the party.
No, no, but it's like he sees the kid leave and he sees a skateboard. He's like, So then Chuck E. Cheese takes a skateboard underneath the house. And then he steals the kid's outfit. And then he reveals him. Like, he learns how to be a kid from watching this kid. And then he reveals himself. I don't know. Okay, so wait. Now we're saying this is like E.T. Elephant Man, where a normal kid meets Chuck E. Cheese as a mutant non-speaking rat and makes him into
he
a
Chuck E.
Cheese.
He learns English and...
Okay, yeah, drunk driving is a good way to describe this right now. This is what happens when you get such a good story that's already broken. Because
no, but it's like, then, like, I get it. It's like, yeah, that kind of backstory will hold up on the back of a fucking Chuck E. Cheese flyer when you're like, he's an orphan, whatever. Like, you're not expecting people that are dealing with their kids running, screaming like hooligans for your restaurant to really ponder, like, the whys and wherefores of this rich universe you've set up. But, like, we got to do the work. We're trying to hold someone's unbroken interest for two straight hours. A feat Chuck E. Cheese, I dare say, has never accomplished.
Damn.
Yeah, like the guys at the restaurant are too busy worrying about like who's pooping in the ball pit to worry about the intricacies of act structure. Because I mean, again, like I said, like as Will said, this gets us to the very beginning. I don't know if the Elephant Man thing as the ET thing works, because I don't know if you can spend half the movie having him like be this gross thing.
Elephant Man doesn't halfway become cool boy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that happened in Elephant Man, and then someone gave him a pair of sunglasses, and then Wild Thing started playing.
Yeah, Elephant Man's the one where he comes in, he slides into the living room wearing socks, and that's it, right? Like, is that
it's
one?
Like, if Am it's I... like Elephant Man, Chuck E. Cheese puts on a shirt and a hat and cool shades, and he's like, I'm cool boy. He comes out, and then everybody kills him because they go, oh my god, it's a rat.
Don't you remember that scene in Elephant Man where the proms tomorrow and he tries on a bunch of different outfits and then like his friend's like, no way, and then gives him the thumbs up and then he's like, I don't know how to dance, and then they dance
and
like she teaches
like...
him how to dance, and then it turns romantic even though she's his best friend and he's been going after the popular girl all this time.
I seem to remember that.
Elephant Man's like, does this shirt make my hips look fat? And they're like, no, that shirt makes your face look like an elephant. And they start screaming.
What do you do with this radical rat?
So part of me wonders, by the way, just to back up a little bit to talk about the origin story, like in my head, it was that these two humans gave birth to this like weird, grotesque thing and they abandoned him. Right. So then it's like
that's
almost like
Penguin from Batman.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, hey, listen, there's only so many stories about grotesque things being birthed and going on to create bands and restaurants.
Let's try to attack this from a different angle. What is Charles Entertainment Chuck E. Cheese about? What is his deal? Like, what is, like, what do you imagine this guy wants once the movie gets started? Like, is this a movie about
so like, if I was thinking about the origin story as if he's a fake person, but like, I think part of it was also just very quickly when they said orphan and kind of like living in this like New York pizza cafe, again, not exactly the same, but like part of me made me think about Chaplin, especially the very mediocre Chaplin movie. But again, like, Chaplin was this guy who, not exactly orphaned, but may as well have been, because his mother was going through a mental illness and he had no father. So he essentially lived in, you know, the dressing rooms of vaudeville. And he, you know, worked all around. And like, so his life was entertainment in the same way that I feel like Chuck E. Cheese's life is pizza and Italian restaurants and, you know, music and all stuff. And this is his family, essentially. This is what he's grown to. But it's also not having parents and being abandoned, like this desire for entertainment, like, right? This desire to have people love you in return. Like, you give them entertainment, they give you back love. And especially, he's literally giving people what he never had, which is these birthdays. And it'll ultimately be like, and again, in the kind of nice way that, you know, for whatever the problems, like Chaplin went through like a million different women and all this stuff. It's like, as he got old, he finally found somebody and he settled down. This would be like Chuck E. Cheese finally finds his true love, which is like, which again would be some sort of self-acceptance or whatever. But I feel like you definitely have this orphan with nothing finding, you know, acceptance and whatnot and providing entertainment.
Okay, yeah, enough goofs. Let's go. Look, it just to circle in, because, yeah, I love that. I really like the idea of everyone telling him, throwing him the birthday party. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, as a sort of, like, sort of karma. Like, again, like Kiki getting the cake that says Kiki on it and Kiki's delivery service. Yeah, yeah. There's not a dry eye in the house. You do, he comes into the room and the lights come on and there's a birthday cake and they're like, it's your birthday, Chucky. Today is your birthday. Yeah, We've decided, right? So, like, how did, like, I feel like if you can build a movie to that, you can get something that works. You know what I mean? So, and, like, again, I'm, you know, I don't know. The first thing that leaps to mind is, like, do you do there, like, does he grow up in this place that's going to become Chuck E. Cheese's? Do you do, like, their old friendly Italian guy who runs the pizza place dies and leaves it to Chuck E. Cheese, and he's got to, like, he's like, oh, I got to run this business now? Like, I don't know.
Or if it was kind of, oh, I guess he really should be human. God, human-sized rat is so fucking disgusting. But, like, because, right, because, like, there's another version where this is, like, Paddington or Stuart Little or somebody where it's just, it's, the guy just has a rat, and the rat has a skateboard and stuff, but he's just a small rat, and
it's
he goes
like
to school.
It's just like Ratatouille now, though.
No, because in those movies, people just accept him as a thing. Okay, what's up, Will?
I have an insane idea. Okay. You do.
I said Paddington and now Will.
No. It wasn't Paddington. Okay, this is maybe very dumb. All right, so you do. He's this rat, and he is like, he's this lovable little rat, right? Yeah. And but it's all like, well, how can one little rat change the world? You're just a little rat, Chuck E. Cheese. What? Okay, I don't know where this, because I keep thinking, like, Chuck E. Cheese is an animatronic robot too. Like, in our world, he's a robot. So what if you do, like, Nolan Bushnell doesn't run the pizza place, but he is like the eccentric inventor next door. And Chuck E. Cheese, once he discovers what he's got to do, it involves entering the world of man. Do you know what I mean? But, like, so Nolan Bushnell builds him like a mech, like a robot, like a man-sized Chuck E. Cheese body that he can buy. Or he's at, or Nolan Bushnell, you fuck that. Nolan Bushnell has a kooky ray gun that turns him into a life-size rat. It's like a Pinocchio type thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, Nolan Bushnell is his Geppetto. Like, and he's like, I'm serious. Because it's like one of those things, it's like you see that in fairy tales, right? Like the young hero makes a pact with like a powerful wizard, or like they are granted this magical boon that allows them to go on this quest where they now enter the hero's journey into this new world or whatever, right? So Chuck E. Cheese is this little rat, but if he wants to save the restaurant, he needs to be a real boy. Like, he needs to be like a human, right? Like, he needs to be able to whatever, right? So again, like, think of Ariel wanting legs so she can walk on land and go meet Prince whatever. There's another one that's driving me nuts that I can't think of. But you do like that. So, like, he's like, Nolan Bushnell, you got to make me. Or like Cinderella and the Fairy Godmother. Bushnell's his fairy godmother.
I got this.
Okay.
Matt, 30 minutes.
Okay. Fuck Nolan Bushnell. But I love every, I just, okay. You do. Sorry, I keep going back to the rat going down the drain. It can be something else. But yes, you have this harrowing sequence. These rats, whether they're lab rats or whatever, I just think they're normal rats. They talk. Because also, it's like, you come in, it's like, I'm watching Chuck E. Cheese. I'm here with my kids. I paid $14. I'm excited for this blockbuster feature that's coming out right now by the boys at Rocket Jump. The rat's going down the drain. He gets separated from his parents. He's drowning. He is in the storm drain drowning. He's going to die. His little parents are terrified. And the parents wish upon a star, please save my boy. And all of a sudden, he just grows big. Now you have this orphan rat who's been transformed into the size of a human. He talks, again, we don't need to explain, like, some scientific reason why he talks and all this shit. He's human-sized now. He's alone in the big city with no parents. He's different and weird, and you're going to see his journey into becoming accepted and getting a restaurant. And you get this powerful moment at the end where he hates himself. He's like, I don't have a birthday. I don't have any parents. I'm this large freak. I wish I drowned back then. And then then you end with a reunion of his family, these normal sized rats. And they're like, we asked you to be saved. And he meets his family at the end. Will hates it. Okay.
I like him choosing to get, do you know what I mean?
That's so weird. That's like, that's
why,
like,
is that weird? How is that any different than Ariel or, like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's the,
because Ariel's a mermaid. He's a big rat. Ariel.
So what? Like, again, Cinderella and the Fairy Godmother, or Aladdin wanting the genie to turn him into a prince. Like, here's what I'm getting as you go. He goes from, like, the animal world into the big people world.
It feels,
you know,
like,
I mean?
It feels like we're having, like, the Terminator be a normal boy and then halfway through ask to become the Terminator.
Yeah, but this isn't end. I'm not, again, but bear with me. Yeah, like, yeah. It's like, there, his, it, it's the, it, that's not, I'm not talking like this is your midpoint. This is is like your end of act one. Like, this is, he gets this idea. I can save the restaurant if I go, you know, be a rock and roll star or something like that. And then he makes this deal with, like, the guy next door to turn him into a big ass rat so he can go do it. I mean, I get it sounds goofy, but it's like, I don't know. Like, it's
I'm just trying to get my head around the decision to become, because then the story becomes about him dealing with the consequences of this. Again, Pinocchio becoming a real boy makes sense because it is a guy who's not a real boy who's been told he is, and he's this child. And again, it's essentially becoming about, like, becoming
all
a
right,
man.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm just trying to get my head around, like, the decision of him being like, I wish I was a big rat to save this restaurant. That becomes his defining characteristic.
Okay, all right, fine. I get it. Just to boil it down, just to even more primally, what does this character want? And in an abstract, wishy-washy, love way, what does he tangibly, in a plot way, want? Because I think that is going to define a lot of your story, right? Because it's like, again, she's from the sea, but she falls in love with a human, right? Like, that's the springboard from which that whole story leaps.
Our bumblebee person wanted to be a pop star.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, what does he want? Like, you can't get around that question. And then that you can kind of string up the rest of your plot from that. Cause I get what he's going to do. Like, I get, he's going to put a band together. He's going to run it. His dream is to, you know, he's going to start a restaurant to blah, 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 blah. But I don't get, like, what the narrative impulse is. So again, like, to go back to the source material, such as it is, he's an orphan. He's a rat. He wants to give other people birthdays, right? Like, he wants to make up for never having had a birthday party of his own. He hosts parties for kids.
Yeah.
And after winning a Pong tournament, he moves to New York and starts working as a singer in an Italian restaurant. God damn it. This fucking lore sucks. Why do we think this is good?
So okay. The thing that actually comes to mind, Will, is I think the one thread that, and again, it doesn't tie really to the birthday thing, but it does, I think, make sense in terms of where his end point is the idea of, like, a failing Italian restaurant and it's like no customers are coming in and everyone's, you know, like, they're not getting in. He's trying to figure out a way of drumming up business. So maybe there's some relationship with him and, like, the owner or something like that. But the idea of, like, if to get to kind of what Matt was, I think, kind of circling around, the idea of, like, you know, like, he can't really help out, but his idea of, like, maybe we can get kids in here, maybe we can turn this into something else than just a boring old stuffy Italian restaurant in New York, you know, as a way of, like, maybe it's, I don't know, it's to me that strikes me as something that's, like, at least concrete in terms of, like, I gotta save this restaurant because it's the only home I've known or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to look, the hard thing is, like, with, if you deal with, again, if you're dealing with, for example, like, we're getting as, like, with Ratatouille, it's a guy, right? It's just a guy who wants to be a good chef. And then one of the obstacles is that he's a rat in the world of humans. So, again, it's like, it's if you're doing this in the world of humans, like, it's weird because it is, like, where, yes, if he's, like, again, that's why part of my instinct was, like, this is a world of animals within the world of humans, or it's just trying to. And here's I would throw one more thing. It's like, I feel like if you do that, he's an orphan and then he gets a restaurant with, like, an old guy and then that becomes a mentor figure. And then eventually he loses that old guy. It's just like losing parents twice. It's like a redundant. So I'm trying to think.
I don't give a shit about the mentor figure. I'm just trying to, like, again.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like, what does he want to do? So he's.
All right. Again, to look at this, to make up for never. I'm going to read this over and over again like it's Memento or something. To make up for never having had a birthday party of his own, he hosts parties for kids. So, like, it almost feels like the birthday party version of, like, a Batman or Spider-Man type thing, right? Like, that this is, like, again, like, those are characters with big wants to, like, be a superhero, right?
I guess one reason I was thinking about Fievel. So, like, Fievel, it is, he's not technically an orphan. He is separated. It's an immigrant story, but it's, again, it's in the world of humans, but there's animals, and they tell the story through animals. It's like, and there's, like, this double world thing, because you have the boats coming, and you also have these, like, rats that are coming down the, you know, like, the ropes of the boat, and they live in New York City, and he's trying to get back to his family. And there's a whole adventure across that. Ultimately, it's like he meets new friends, he meets new mentors, father figures, he learns the world, and then eventually he returns to his family. I guess I was trying to, like, wrap it around something more like that than if it's like, again, like, one thing would be like he makes Chuck E. Cheese, and because he becomes famous, his family finds him. Like, you know, it's like, I'm just trying to get, like, Chuck, like, all of a sudden his rat parents.
Kenneth, just throw.
Okay.
What if his goal is to find out what his birthday is?
Okay.
And, like, you do. Okay. All right. This doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever. You do, like, it's like, they're, it, like, his family is starving, not his family, like his whatever, his ersatz family is starving, and you can get a free pizza on your birthday from the local pizza place. But to get it, you have to know what your birthday is, which sends him on this zany adventure to know his own birth, right? And it is like a kind of metaphor for like this deeper thing. And like, I don't know, but like it as something that drives him, like it's like I could see how that would get you somewhere, right? Like you're like, he's trying to get to the source of like for his the wellspring, the fountainhead from whence he came. Like he's trying to understand his own past, and then in doing that he is transformed, and then he fails in his goal of finding out what his birthday is because the past is unknowable or something like that. And then but then you do the friend, I don't know, so is that getting anywhere?
I see. I'm trying to, okay,
what about this
mm-hmm.
He's an orphan, right? And he's in an orphanage. It's him with other kids. It's him with other like kid animals. It's just a whole potpourri of species in there. But it's like some city orphanage. And they always have these birthday parties for these kids, right? But he's always left out because he's the one that like they don't know. They're like, well, what about like we could just pick a day? He's like, no, we can't do that. It's like, I don't know. There's something about the angst of seeing other kids having fun and celebrating a birthday and not wanting that feeling to be, you know, like, enacted on anybody else, that to me seems like a place that you can start in terms of like a driving motivator of like, I don't know, just in my head I just see like this mouse like in the reflection of a window and there's like a birthday cake and like a glowing candle or something.
Well, yeah,
inside.
I kinda
like
again,
family.
if you were gonna do that he was abandoned or he lost, and again if he doesn't believe his family was dead or whatever, like you have him escape the orphanage or whatever. But I like, because again, what you have with this Italian restaurant, of course, like one of the things, maybe again, he just starts off as a waiter there. Again, he's just struggling to get by. He left and he's trying to make it on his own, and he believes his family's somewhere. Like again, he gets some clue because maybe they were lab rats and his family escaped. No, because I'm trying to get it. You want like an arc, right? You're asking like, what's a specific goal? I think like just finding my birthday isn't like enough. It's just like an existential crisis, but like, even like a tangible, like I want to find my parents. Like I don't believe.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I get that. And then you can do a whole story about him growing up and like figuring this out, because
it just sounds, I'll be honest, it just sounds like a fucking bummer. Like his parents are dead, right? Like does he not know they're dead?
What?
Like he's an orphan. His parents are
dead.
No,
you would
That's
do that.
There, you do. Means.
Sure, but yes, we're twisting that thing. You would do that. He thinks he's an orphan. He's put in an orphanage, but he doesn't believe his parents are.
So, are we going to meet his parents or his parents?
Yeah, well,
dead?
That was going to be the thing, is that you end with his parents. He gets his parents back at the end. Well, the image I was trying to get to is like, I like at the Italian restaurant, again, it's like you're seeing they would do birthday, right? People get at the table, they get their birthday or whatever. I don't know. Okay, well, we need to settle on.
I hate every single thing we've come up with.
I feel like I've thrown pretty solid orphans animated movies out. We just need to settle on.
But I'm like, what does he do? He's like fucking Googling? How does this involve a band?
No,
like,
what is happening?
How is this Chuck E. Cheese?
Because if it's in the world, again, I wish you had seen Philo. If it's in the world of like, this guy is on his own, you're talking about, again, that's why I was thinking depression era or whatever it is. It's like, if it's just, if the orphan is just this radical teen who lives in suburban LA with a fucking skateboard and zips around and goes boop, 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 and then figures out his birthday's not a movie. Now, if you do an orphan is drowning and lives in depression or 1940s or 1970s in the streets of New York City and is trying to make by and meets the ragtag kids who do drugs and teach him the wrong ways, and he flees them, and then he gets picked up by a kind old Italian man who then lets him work at the restaurant, and then while he's working at the restaurant, the guy's teaching him, like, you know, they're doing birthday things, like, hey, when's your birthday? He's like, I don't know my birthday, I'm an orphan. And he's like, what do you want to do with your life? You gotta think of something, like Chuck E. Cheese.
What is he trying to do?
He thinks his parents are still alive or something, some MacGuffin. In Five Goes West, it is like he doesn't believe his parents are gone. Everybody else is telling him, it's like, yo kid, you're in America now, you got separated, deal with it, you're never gonna see your parents again, you just gotta survive, you're living on the streets now, this is what it is. But Five has hope, which is what America has, and he goes for it. And the movie's not about, it's not like the whole conflict. The conflict is his life. It is a coming-of-age story. He's dealing with what it means to be his own man in this new world, and then he's rewarded by reuniting with his parents. Having changed is not too pat because he's a different person.
So it's like Empire of the Sun with Chuck E. Cheese, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Another version of it.
Okay. Freddie, how are we doing on time?
We are at 20 minutes remaining, boys.
Okay.
So we got to put the pedal to the metal.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just feel like I got
pulled out.
Like I was in the Matrix, and then I got yanked out of the Matrix, and then now I'm back in the Matrix, and I'm like, everything's a lie. Like, that's my emotional state right now. I'm like, I don't understand why I'm even doing this with my life. Okay. All right. So I just something about him looking for his parents. I'm just like,
I don't care.
I don't know why. I want to go with you on it. I want to go down this journey.
How about this? How about he gives? How about he does get a tangent? How about rather than? How about yes, he believes they aren't there. How about he has given up, but he gets his new goal. And again, it's like his. If he is seeking the shallow, if you do, maybe he's seeking the shallow fulfillment with entertainment. He gets the love of the crowd with his first time, like playing a jazz musician, and then he goes through multiple women, multiple bands, or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying it's tough because it feels like finding your parents is like the physical personification or manifestation of the original question of like, if you don't know your birthday, right? Like, because otherwise it's what, like searching through the Hall of Records is just boring. It just feels like the way you find that out is really, you're just saying like, who are my parents, is like really the question that that's being asked there. Do you know what I mean? It's just a less interesting version of that question, and which is tough.
Okay, I mean
if you're thinking about it as a musical again, just to like, because what I'm getting at is, if it's this, I think playing him as a musician is important. I think it gives you something. Like, okay. So you start getting this love of music too,
and the love of the crowd.
Okay. Yeah. Can I? All right. They're going to save the orphanage by putting on a show, and then at the end, the orphanage turns into Chuck E. Cheese's.
Okay.
You do like, bear with me, but
no, I like that. I'm just laughing at the idea of the orphanage becomes Chuck E. Cheese.
No, but it's just bear with. I mean, it's like that. You do like, or he starts up. You know, like he's, you know, okay. All right. He's growing up, right?
Yeah.
He's a teen, right? Like, I feel like Chuck E. Cheese is not like a goo goo gaga fucking 4-year-old. Like, he's a radical teen, right?
Yeah.
So maybe like he's reaching the age, he's going to have to leave the orphanage behind, right?
Yeah.
And he's freaking out about that. He doesn't know about, he's got to take his first steps into a larger world or something like that. And it's his home for lost wayward animals, right? So the conceit is that it's a big animal orphanage. So it's him and the all the other wacky little shits or whatever they're in this fucking
thing.
It's
like X-Men or...
Oh yeah, my God, Will. What if you have to leave when you turn 18, but he doesn't know what day that is?
Oh my God.
Okay. Keep going. Where is it going?
Okay. And then it's, I don't know. And again, maybe we don't do the anxiety about turning into an adult. I don't know if you need that or not. Cause you could also just do, he's a kid living in this orphanage. Right. And he's like, I never get a birthday. Right. There's a crisis, right? Big, mean, evil pizza corporation is going to destroy the orphanage to make way for their soulless pizza shithole. And they're like, we gotta raise the money to save the orphanage, right?
Yeah.
So Chuck E. Cheese can sing. And, you know, what are these other ones? Give me one. Wally the Walrus or whatever.
Helen Honey. Helen Honey is on vocals. Mr. Munch on keyboards. Jasper Jowls on guitar.
So, yeah, do they...
Foxy Colleen. Doesn't seem kid appropriate.
Okay. All right.
I think you're, if I can jump in, because I think you're going to good. I think this is getting there. Okay. Finally. I think this is getting there. Because, yes, what do you do is, again, I would just do he's a human sized rat. We're just going to do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's a human sized
rat.
Then, yes, I would very much, just for the sake of it, I'd very much just treat this like Paddington. I would just do he's a human sized rat.
Yeah. And it's just, or a BoJack Horseman. Like, there's BoJack Horseman is this mix of animals and people, and no one ever says anything about it.
Yeah. But I would do, again, I would be like, yes, this is kind orphanage. Again, maybe some people judge them kind of like Paddington. Again, they treat him like an immigrant, essentially. I would do like, yes, there's this lady who runs this orphanage, and there's a few animals in there, too. And yes, I would do is this evil pizza corporation is going to, because this town demands pizza and there's no good pizza, and the problem is this pizza's good and Pasquale makes some shitty pizza and you do, but that's okay because people won't care about the shitty pizza if they're listening to good music and you have, because the pizza,
I don't, why I'm just confused.
Okay, never mind, keep going.
I don't understand. I literally don't understand what you're saying.
They have to use the Italian restaurant across the street of the orphanage is, or if it's tough because what you would do is, you would do, if they can get this pizza place next to the orphanage or the place that they run to be big enough and popular enough, then there'll be no more demand. Like, they don't need another pizza place if this place is super kicking it. Like, if Chuck E. Cheese...
I don't understand how that
just
is.
Just do it. No. Matt, just do it. That's like they're trying to buy the orphanage and they just need to raise money and they need a big blowout event. They're like, how are we going to be able to get people in there?
Yeah.
It's like, well, we could just throw a concert or whatever. It's like, no, but we need like the kids and stuff in there too. It's like, what about a ball pit? What about this stuff? And he like inadvertently comes up with the idea of like, here's how we can get kids here.
It's literally, that's literally the plot of the Blues Brothers. Is the Blues Brothers, they get out of jail and the convent needs them to help save the orphanage.
Okay. Okay. Very good. You're right. Here we go. I feel like I've tried to jump off this diving board four times. I've hit the concrete every time. So here we go. Maybe I'll make a splash here. The bad guy, the big pizza corporation. We'll call him Papa John's.
Okay.
Besides being racist, Papa John's has a kid.
Mm-hmm.
A miserable kid who's not loved by his father. And his father keeps forgetting his birthday. The final thing, the big blowout, is Chuck E. Cheese becomes friends with this kid. He gets him, too. He doesn't have family. Papa John's kid might as well not have a family. He throws Papa John's. When all is lost, he's still his bro. He's still his buddy. And he throws him a giant birthday party. And that birthday party is massive. And again, you might even have Papa John's like have a change of heart or whatever. But you do this connection and he finds somebody else who's from a different side of the tracks, a little Prince of the Popper style. And he connects with this kid because they both have their same problems or something like that.
I do feel that. I do feel like there's some. No. I do feel like there's something about like reaching across the aisle and like.
If you're going to do this guy, like I want to humanize him. If you're going to do that, he's this radical teen. Like, who are his friends? Like, you have all the orphanage. But then, of course, they would hate this. Like, there's this kid who has everything, who's part of this group also. And again, he's a sad kid. But if you're going to do, because I want to get the Chuck E. Cheese to be about birthday parties too.
Okay.
Because right? It's not just about. It's not a jazz club. Chuck E. Cheese is a place to celebrate birthdays. So whose birthday is he celebrating?
Okay, can I have an idea? Okay. It's not that the orphanage is going to shut down. You do that there is a pizza place across the street, Pasquale's Pizza.
Yeah.
And Pasquale makes this great pizzas for the orphanage. And it's like their one joy. Like every Friday, mm-hmm. a truck full of Pasquale's Pizza shows up because Pasquale's a kind man of good heart, right? And Pasquale's is going to get destroyed by Evil Pizza Corporation. And if they don't have Pasquale's anymore, it's going to be all cool gruel fuel 24/7. They're going to be eating that Tiny Tim sludge. So they got to save Pasquale's. And Chuck E. Cheese, the radical rat, is like, Pasquale, you got to get with the times, man. We got to put on a show to save your restaurant. People got to get the word out about your great pizza, right?
Pasquale brings free pizza every time there's a birthday at the orphanage.
Oh, there you go.
So at the orphanage, there's always a big pizza party whenever there's a birthday. But do you know who doesn't have a birthday? Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese. Yes, Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Charles Entertainment Cheese doesn't have a birthday. And Pasquale's like, come on, just say you got a birthday and then we'll give you free pizza. He's like, no, I can't just take free pizza.
By the way,
it's not my actual birthday.
This is, okay, so I feel like we're onto something because I'm also seeing what our speed racer speed dumps it 10 into,
minutes left.
Speed dumps 10 it into left. Fifth gear moment is Chuck E. Cheese. Again, he doesn't know his birthday. He doesn't even know what the E in his name stands for.
Oh my God. Well, you're like reading my mind, by the way.
And then you do, he's like, I know. It's just, oh, okay. All right. You do right before he goes on stage for
literally,
the fucking
literally
final.
In my mind.
Yeah.
In my mind, you are pulling
it
out.
Okay, yeah. Right on, he's about to go on stage for that fucking final concert and he turns back to the band. He's like, I just figured out what the E stands for. And they go, what is it? Entertainment.
And then
he flips his shades down. Chuck E. Cheese goes out and they shred the most righteous concert. And then the shitty old pizza man is like, this Chuck E. Cheese, like he moves the heart of the old dude, right? And he sees how much joy he's brought to this son, how much joy this big birthday party has brought to him. He's like, Chuck E. Cheese, I'd like to make a deal with you. We're going to start a chain of restaurants that bring birthday joy to kids all over the world. And Chuck E. Cheese is like, you bet your ass we are, old man.
So okay,
not without my crew though.
Yes, and I think that moment is because I was like, okay, this would seem a little too
for maximum emotional impact. Will that song is a hard rock rendition of like the sad version of the song earlier that he's singing like about the fact that he like doesn't know his parents or whatever, but it's like it's the triumphant version, like hard rock version of it with a guitar solo.
Yes,
it's about how when you don't have parents, it's super rad and you can skateboard it all the time. No, okay, so like yes, because then I was thinking
it's called Who Needs Parents When You Have Pizza.
Dude, that is Will. Absolutely that is a song midway through for sure.
When Who Needs Parents parenthetical. When you have pizza.
That's the song at the midpoint when Chuck E. Cheese is cheering up the kid of the shitty guy. And he's like, hey, I don't have parents. I'm cool. Who needs parents? When you got pizza.
So I was going to do, I would do, the movie gets to the point where they lose. The pizza place is going to be taken over. It's done. And what's the final thing to do? Pasquale's Chuck E. Cheese has never gotten a birthday because he doesn't know his birthday. He refuses to have a fake one because he can't, like, again, he has this problem. And the day before they shut it down, again, like literally the dumpsters are coming or whatnot. And they're like, hey, you're not tearing this place down until midnight. So deal with it. They go, fine, whatever. And the guy's sitting around there and it's like, hey, why are all these people coming in? And it's like, it's a birthday. And surprise, it's they're giving Chuck E. Cheese's birthday. The last day before Pasquale closed is Chuck E. Cheese's birthday. Chuck E. Cheese's like, who's this for? It's like, it's for your birthday, man. and they're having this big party. And it's all, again, like you're talking about, it's like they give
is
him.
Is that at the beginning of the movie?
No, the end. This is the very end.
I was like, what? No.
This is the very end, right before Pasquale's going to shut down. The night of Pasquale's shutting down. Everybody in the movie's there. It seems like it's all lost. And yes, and Chuck E. Cheese. They're like, Chuck E. Cheese, say this, like, say something. It's your birthday, say something. They always, maybe they always give like a nice toast or whatever it is. All the kids always on their birthday, they say, hey, I love you all. He stands up on stage and he pulls out his guitar and he's going to say something. And then he suddenly realizes, again, you do the moment where he's like, I know.
I don't think that's at your low point. Oh, here, because I just had
this is the end of the movie. And then he's like, I know what the E stands for. And he plays the fucking rock and roll song to celebrate his own birthday party. And it's so fucking rad that the guy watches it and it's like, yeah, we'll make your
I
own
don't,
shame.
Okay, bear with me.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, sorry. I don't want to to plus one, Arthur, to yes, because here's what I was going to say, is that you do, okay, I this is a plot thing. You do, there's a battle of the bands, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, if we win the battle of the bands, we'll make the money to save the restaurant, right? And then you do the battle, they're like, but we're just orphans. We don't have the money. We don't have any fucking sick music gear. But that kid, who's the kid, the son of the shitty Papa John's guy who goes to the same high school, plays at the same arcade as they do does, right? And so it's like kind of one of those, like, they befriend him, but they're not really his friend, but they're using him to get they put a band together. They lose the battle of the bands. The restaurant's going to get shut down. But then you do Richie Rich Kid is like, I've decided where I want to have my birthday party this year, Father. I want to have it at Chuck E. Cheese. I want to have it at Pasquale's restaurant. Chucky, do you guys think you guys can put on a show? And then that's like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I would still do. What would be nice, again, like, I want, like, why does Chuck E. Cheese play a performance so good?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would do. They might even be the things like, I want to have my birthday party there. And the surprise is, no, they're celebrating Chuck E. Cheese's birthday. He's never had a birthday before. I feel like the last thing you get is like the greatest show of his life is when they finally throw him a birthday party.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
I see what you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
The final... I see what you mean. Okay, yes.
Yeah,
and 5 minutes left, guys.
Okay,
5 minutes left.
Because here's what you do is, yes, it's they failed. It's the low point.
Yes.
It's this birthday. Oh, and then you do, they're like, look, we're gonna just throw a free concert. Just to, like, we're going to send off Pasquale's in style or whatever.
Yeah,
and they surprise Chuck E. Cheese by telling him it's his birthday or something.
Yeah, no, because maybe it's a stupid line, doesn't make any sense. But the guy, again, this kid has everything in the world and Chuck E. Cheese has had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I've got everything. You can have my birthday. Like, he gives him his birthday.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So again, this guy, this jerk rich kid who's kind of always been on and off with them, gives him his own birthday. He's like, no, man, this is your birthday now.
Okay.
We're celebrating
all
it
right,
for you.
All right, we got 5 minutes. We got around the, okay. All right. So just to try to bump through this plot. Okay, so Chuck E. Cheese lives at the orphanage with the other animals, and Pasquale's is this place that they all get their pizza from that they love, and then but Pasquale's is going to have to close, right?
Yeah.
So Chuck E. Cheese is going to put a band together to save the day. What I'm not getting from that is, like, what is the threshold cross? What is the Luke enters the bar in Mos Eisley?
Yeah.
How is this Chuck E. Cheese taking a step into a larger world? Do you know what I mean? Like, the... Like, is he meeting new people? Like, is it new? Like, is he, like, you know, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah,
like, maybe he is a lonely guy. Like, maybe he doesn't have friends.
I was thinking he might not be, like, this cool radical teen at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that is.
Oh, that's actually not bad.
Yeah, he's this loser.
He's a nerd. Or, like, he's, you know, he has to embrace his inner rock and roller, kind of. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, what is his arc? That's what I'm trying to give you. Because it's like, he can't just be a cool musician at the beginning and then Lottie dies a cool musician at the end. Like, do you know what I mean? Is it one of those things where, like, the band is like, there's an existing band and they're looking for a singer,
and
then they hear him singing because he's so sad that he doesn't have a birthday, and they're like, holy shit, that's him. Like, that's our guy.
Is Chuck E. Cheese a singer? Who? What?
He's
what?
A singer.
He does vocals and
he does vocals and guitar.
Oh, yeah, then absolutely. Deep down, he's a great singer. He's this poet. He's this inner poet who's afraid to express himself.
Okay. Look, in terms of your beats, it's like the, okay, what are we, end of act one is Pasquale's is going to close, right? And then act two is, what are we going to do? And the end of act two is the decision to put a band together.
Yeah.
Right? Act three, it's your classic band movie. Act three is putting the band together, rehearsing for the big gig. And
the surprise turn is that you team up with an unexpected ally, which would be the guy's son. Right, that's you're always gonna have that.
Like, the band is missing this one ingredient, right? And it's like,
and this guy's a rebellious team who wants to stick it to Papa John.
How much time do we have, Freddie?
Like 2 minutes, dude.
Okay, all right. It's so close. Like, I feel like we're.
I know it's okay. Let me just ask this: how does the movie start? Like, where are we? Are we? because that's we don't have a threshold moment because it's like Chuck E. Cheese is just this formed character at this ending right now. We don't know what.
Why is here's my thing, and then this I think defines the rest of the movie for you. Why it's again like our flow insurance one, like that she's scared, right? That's why she hasn't taken her first big step out. Like I feel like you do to me. The opening is Chuck E. Cheese singing a
Chuck
song.
Chuck E. Cheese doesn't know who he is.
What is that? I don't get what that
like,
means.
Like, he doesn't, he's, if you're going to do the angst of a teen, he's trying to find out his identity. Like, if you're going to do, he doesn't know, he won't give himself a birthday because he doesn't understand.
Sure.
Great.
What I don't understand is why is this hard for him? Why is this like, what is this like, I'm just a small, like, how, it, again, literally, like, Luke is a farm boy who's got to now go save the universe, right? Like, he's not a Jedi Knight, he's just a farm boy. I don't even get that contrast right now. That's what I'm struggling with. Like the, that who is he at the beginning? That like, again, I could see, like, I think your opening is him putting on a show for the kids at the orphanage. It's someone's birthday. And then he's the one who sings on their birthday because he's the one, he's an artist, right? Like the, and, but he's never left the orphanage or he's never whatever. Do you know what I mean? And that's going to be the thing he's struggling with through the journey. Like, that's what I'm stumped on right now. Like the, and that's
unfortunately, Will, you're going to need to stay stumped on that because that's time, gentlemen. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I got it. Okay. So it is he is a church mouse.
Okay.
And so you do, he sings in the choir, right? And there are all these other kind of street urchin animals that hang out at Pasquale's, right? And he's the one who always gets the pizza from Pasquale's for the church birthdays or whatever, right? Like for the other church mice orphans or whatever. It's like it's a church run thing. But there would be no cool rock and roll music in this church, right? Because it's like, so you do, there's the other kids that hang out, like the other people of the band, they aren't in the orphanage with him.
Yeah, Foxy Colleen and Krusty the Cat.
Krusty the Cat is like a street cat that hangs out behind the pizza place eating scraps and stuff like that, right? Like, they're into rock and roll. They're into this stuff. So when Pasquale's is going to go down, it's the other ones who are like, shit, we need to start a band to save Pasquale's. And then Chuck E. Cheese is singing in the choir and they need a singer for their band because the street cat just sounds like a yowling cat. And like the other, like, so Chuck, they're like, Chucky, we need your help to save the orphanage, right? I mean, we need your help to save the pizza place. So he starts doing it in secret at first. He's sneaking out to go rock out with them or whatever. So it's like that kind of arc. Yeah, it's a Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the right beginning. Really, I don't know what the middle is.
And then it's
nobody
loses himself in that rock and roll lifestyle a little bit because it isn't him, right? Like, he's this wholesome dude. So at the end, it is this unity of his wholesomeness and his, like, his attitude. You know what I mean? It's about finding yourself. It's about being yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we're done.
So we've done our best over the course of an hour. Now is the time for the elevator pitch, which is a segment on the show where one of us, randomly chosen by dice, attempt to pitch the movie we just came up with to an unnamed studio executive into an actual elevator. We have 60 seconds to sum up this last hour. And so, Matt, drop that dice. Who's up?
All right, it's me.
Okay, we haven't done a Matt pitch yet.
Here we go.
Freddie, why don't you be timekeeper, and I will play Nolan Bushnell, the executive producer of this movie.
Ooh.
Is this Nolan Bushnell who knows of Chuck E. Cheese?
He's the founder. Yeah, you're pitching to the wellspring from whence Chuck E. Cheese came, Nolan Bushnell.
All right.
All right, Matt, and the clock begins now.
Hi, Nolan.
Oh, hey, what brings you to Atari headquarters, Matt?
I know you don't have a lot of time, so let me just tell you something straight up. Chuck E. Cheese meant a lot to me as a kid. I actually grew up in a very conservative religious household, and Chuck E. Cheese was a place that I could let loose and have a lot of fun. So I want to pitch you a quick movie about Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay, I'm on my way up to the 50th floor to do Atari business, so go ahead. You got till then. We do about a second and change per floor, so it's just know that that's what you've got going on.
Fantastic. So to me, Chuck E. Cheese is very much about finding yourself, exposing your inner rat, if you will. And to me, sorry, we'll give you a look.
Who's Will? I don't see a guy named Will in this elevator.
According to your
lore, you were talking about exposing yourself.
Exposing myself. So Chuck E. Cheese is this rad, cool rat that lives in church. Sorry, Ray, stop laughing. Is a rat who lived in a church, and is it?
That's 1 minute.
I didn't even. Okay, the 1 minute.
Oh, you know, Matt, I actually forgot. I need something back in the lobby. Do you mind writing down with me? I will remind you that I'm Nolan fucking Bushnell, and I know who Chuck E. Cheese is, and my time is very valuable. So I'm going to go ahead and ride down the elevator. Please continue with your frankly fucking terrible pitch so far.
All right. So Pasquale, as you know, is the Italian restaurant across the street from the orphanage where Chuck E. Cheese lives. And this place is run down. It is going to fall apart. And one of the few joys that Chuck E. Cheese, the rat, has in his life is getting the free pizza. And he can't believe this place is going to run down. And does the church know that he's an incredible musician. And that's all he really wants in his life. So he's going to have to team up with the bad kids across the street, the bad rats, the bad foxy Colleen, the street cat who offers him drugs. And he's going to team up with them to form this incredible band to try to make Pasquale's the hottest ticket in town. And that ticket is Chuck E. Cheese.
You guys now have a 20-second awkward elevator ride for the rest of the
way. I have some follow-up questions.
There's no questions. I gave it to you in 30 seconds. So I hope you buy it, and I love your restaurant. That's it.
Are we still on the elevator?
No, that's definitely more than a minute.
Right
okay,
there.
Okay, well, thanks for coming to Atari, Matt. We do not validate. So please leave.
Oh my gosh, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh my god, is that real? We're ending on that? No, it's the Commitments with Chuck E. Cheese. They put on him in order to save the orphanage he grew up in. Chuck E. Cheese is going to have to team up. A humble church mouse is going to learn what it means to rock and roll by teaming up with the with these cool cats and cool customers, like your favorite side characters who live on the other side of the tracks across the street, because they all have one thing in common: their love of pizza. So can Chuck E. Cheese find his inner rock star to save his favorite pizza place, or will it get destroyed by the evil pizza corporation?
And I think I bought that.
Yeah, that was pretty good, Will. I was gonna go for Blues Brothers, but instead of John Belushi, it's a man-sized rat.
That's good too.
Okay.
And our hit single is gonna be called "Who Needs Parents?" Parenthetical, when you have pizza.
I think that is our episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. This was kind of a wild one to be jumping into the Maximum Fun Pond with, but we hope you had as much fun listening as we did banging our heads against the wall. quick little bit of housekeeping. Thank you so much to Wesley Regan and Albino Penguin, a.k.a. Cool Friend, both on Twitter, for the amazing Aunt Beru poster art you guys did for last week's episode. As always, if you feel so moved to cook up a poster for one of our movies, or perhaps your own rendition of Who Needs Pizza When You've Got Parents, please tweet them to @RJStoryBreak on Twitter. Thanks again to everyone who's been leaving us reviews on iTunes. That really helps us out. And yeah, Freddie, you wanna take it away here?
Yeah, listen, folks, if you want to check out those awesome posters that people did, you can head over to rocketjump.com. We post those up every single week. And we didn't use it in this episode, but we also do need names. Sometimes when we're coming up in the hot and heavy sort of mix of trying to figure out the story, we need like villain names or hero names. So if you hit us up on Twitter @RJStoryBreak, you can submit your name into the pot and we may draw upon it for future episodes to use. So that's all for now. Once again, thank you again to Maximum Fun for having us. And check out MaximumFun.org for a bunch of other very, very cool, very good podcasts. And until next week, here at Story Break, we break it, you buy it. We'll see y'all later.
Thank you.